This is Public Radio 90 WNMU-FM Marquette. I'm News Director Nicole Walton, and on the phone, I have the Veterans Administration Secretary Robert Wilkie. Secretary Wilkie, thank you for joining me.
Well, thank you, Nicole. Thank you for having me.
Now, for some time, many veterans have had to wait months to see a doctor at VA medical centers. What is being done to shorten that wait time?
Well, we passed and the president pushed for legislation called the Mission Act. The Mission Act's the most transformative piece of legislation since the GI Bills that was signed by President Roosevelt in 1944. What Mission Act says is that if our veterans live a certain distance from a VA center, a certain number of minutes, if we don't have the service that a veteran wants, then we will work with that veteran to get that veteran into the private sector. The other thing that we are doing is that we are expanding our reach into urgent care. Until June 6, veterans did not have access to urgent care anywhere in the country. I am looking to get at least 7,000 urgent care clinics online. We have about 6,000 now, and that is part of the reform to keep our veterans out of emergency rooms. The other thing that's very important in northern Michigan is making sure that when these decisions are made by veterans, that we pay the local providers. That system did not work well. We have reformed it. In fact, those local providers who were owed money by VA in the past years, they're now at the front of the line. Because we want to integrate VA with the wider American healthcare system. In Michigan, that also means integrating VA with the university healthcare system that exists in your state. So it's a broad-ranged approach. Our wait times now in general, according to the American Medical Association, are good or better than any in the private sector, and we continue to work on that.
Now, we've heard the stories of Walter Reed. Some medical centers have suffered from a lack of upgrades and general maintenance.
Right.
Is the VA taking a bigger role in addressing those problems?
Yeah. Now, Walter Reed is not owned by us. That's owned by the Army. So, but your point is still well taken. And in Michigan and in Wisconsin in particular, we have VA facilities that were authorized on the pen of Abraham Lincoln. I am responsible for hundreds of buildings that are at minimum 125 years old. So upgrading those facilities is absolutely vital. I hope that VA is in the discussion when we finally get to a national infrastructure bill. We are upgrading many facilities, but we have a lot to go. And you're absolutely right. You have to have a welcoming, not only a welcoming staff, but you have to be able to bring veterans into a facility that they can be proud of. So it is at the top of my list.
Now, the suicide rate for veterans is among the highest in the nation. How is the VA helping vets deal with depression, PTSD, and other mental health issues?
So I will address it first by saying that when you and I were youngsters, when we were in high school, you in the North and me in North Carolina, the leading cause of death for our classmates was automobile accidents and drunk driving as a corollary to that. Today, the leading cause of death for American teenagers is suicide. So it is a problem that is impacting the entire society. For veterans, we lose about 20 a day. The sad thing, particularly because I'm the son of a combat soldier from Vietnam, is that the vast majority of those who take their lives are Vietnam veterans. I will be announcing in March, along with the president, the first national roadmap on suicide prevention. We are looking for a national answer. For the Upper Peninsula, what would that mean? That would mean I would be able to go to your county governments, to charities, to non-governmental organizations, and and give them resources to help us find those veterans we don't see, because of the 20 veterans who take their lives every day, we don't see 70% of them. They have removed themselves from VA. Our formula has worked for the most part on homelessness, where, you know, 5 years ago we had over 400,000 veterans and their families on the streets. We're now down to about 40,000, still a lot, but that's, you know, exponentially smaller than it was a few years ago. And most of those 40,000 are in between Los Angeles and Seattle. And those have, there's unique problems there. We are going to announce a national roadmap. And we hope, because most Americans understand at some level what happens when an individual puts on a uniform and that uniform comes off, that we can help the entire country. A last thing I will say, I'll give you a phone number for your listeners, 1-800-273-8255. That is the National Veterans Crisis Line. We get about 1,700 calls a day from veterans and veterans' families, and we want to hear from families. If a veteran is in crisis, we will act. Of those 1,700 calls we get a day, we physically intervene on 200 to 300 with emergency services. And families can call, veterans can call. The wait time is about 8 seconds. There's no voicemail. You'll speak to a live person, and we want people to take advantage of that.
You were talking about homelessness. Does the VA offer job training and placement assistance for such vets?
Yes, and it's an ongoing evolution. We do. Veterans are now briefed when they transition out of the active or reserve component on the services available. We have active programs in all of the states on job training and job placement as we get veterans into the workforce. I'm about to enter into an agreement, a memorandum of understanding with the Israeli military. They do probably the best job of making sure that when their soldiers put the uniforms away, they move almost seamlessly into society. Now, obviously, the population of Israel is about half of the size of Michigan's population, but we are doing best lessons learned from other communities. But it is important, and it is, I think we've been successful enough that that component of our training has helped with the homelessness issue as well.
The VA Accountability and Whistleblower Protection Act has been signed into law. Could you tell me a little bit about that and why it was necessary?
It was necessary because we had an institution in crisis. In the last administration, you reported on crisis at places like Phoenix, where people were not surviving wait lists, where employees were actively engaged in not telling the truth about what was going on in their hospitals. What the Accountability Act and what the change in attitude from that Accountability Act has allowed me to do is, in the last few years or so, we've released 8,000 people. Everyone from the network director who was responsible for hospitals across several states, to hospital directors, to custodial staff. And what that has done is send the message through the organization that we take seriously the oaths we take, and that you're going to be held to a very high standard. Our veterans deserve that. The taxpayers deserve that. And I have more leeway because of that act and the authorities that I've been given to move in a direction that the rest of my cabinet colleagues cannot.
If a veteran has a problem with, say, a VA medical center or other sector of the VA, and it just isn't getting help, where should he or she turn?
Well, a couple of places. One, call us and tell us We have people, advocates in the hospitals and the clinics who would be ready to help. I would also ask them to get in touch with veteran service organizations in their area. They work arm in arm with us. And Michigan has a very robust Veterans Affairs Department that is run out of Lansing. And they are a conduit as well. We have almost 10 million patients, so those things happen. I mean, I would be lying to the country if I said people didn't fall through the cracks. That happens in an organization as large as us. But there's several layers that they can use to get to us and to have people work on that problem. So call us. Call the patient advocate at our hospitals, clinics. If that's not working, the VSOs, the Veterans Service Organizations, and then Michigan's Veterans Affairs Department.
Veterans Administration Secretary Robert Wilkie, thank you so much for your time.
Well, I thank you, and I'll say this to you. I want to thank Public Radio, too. I've done, just since May 1st, well over 100 NPR interviews. You all perform an incredible public service, and I thank you.
Thank you so much.